It's a blessing to be able to be here with you. It's been gone for 2 weeks, and so I'm thankful to have the opportunity to come back. We had a great vacation, but we missed you, and I'm thankful that last Sunday went so well with John, and the Sunday before went so well with Michael preaching, and I appreciate those brethren filling in for me. This is a special Sunday. Today, we have the fellowship dinner tonight of ice cream supper and thinking about fellowship. And then this morning, for the last several years, we have been thinking about sending our kids back. And we've often emphasized send them back with prayer. And this morning, we're thinking about sending them back in faith. In faith. All of our young people are volunteers in the Lord's army. You know, when you turn 18, young people, you may not, the younger ones probably don't realize this yet, but you have to go and register for the draft. And we don't do a draft now, it's and things like that, but you have to still register with our government. And at, in times past, they have had to conscript or call people in to the army, what we call a draft. But we found that if we can have a volunteer army, that it can be more effective and efficient because people choose to enter the army. I want you to think this morning about your choice to enter the Lord's army and how important that is. And so I want us to look to Ephesians chapter 6 and the story of what armor we should put on as we are a part of the Lord's army. So in chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, notice what Paul wrote about being in this army. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and against rulers and against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Notice Paul begins by saying that we've got to stand strong. What he means here is that our strength is in the Lord. That we must first know the Lord. Strength is not in numbers. It's not in education. It's not in our family or in our name. Now we understand that there's a level of strength in those things. But ultimately, Paul says that our strength comes in the Lord, that the battle belongs to the Lord, that we are to be strong in Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David would say at a time when he was struggling, he says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth, and they give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward Him. For you have done foolishness in this, for from now on you will have wars." The Bible says that God gives strong support to those whose heart is attuned to Him. You see, your strength must come from the Lord. Whatever you're going to accomplish this year, whether it's on the athletic field or in the academic halls, whether it's in other pursuits that you have, ultimately those things will come through the blessings of the Lord. And if you're going to maintain the strength of faith, if you're going to make it through this year in faith, it's going to come by being strong in the Lord. There's going to be times where you're going to be struggling. And your faith is going to be challenged. You're going to have to strengthen yourself in that you know and love the Lord. You see, because we have an enemy, and Paul would speak about our enemy in this context, he says that we are must stand against the schemes of the devil. He says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood or against rulers or against the authorities, but against God. Cosmic powers over this present darkness. That we are wrestling against demonic forces. That our battle is ultimately against Satan. When you think about Satan, I want you to know that he has some schemes. He has some things that he wants to do, that he is planning. He is devious. And he is working to undermine your faith. Our enemy is not one another. Our enemy is not your parents. You may get frustrated with your parents at some, but they're not the enemies. In fact, they want what is best for you. Your enemy is not your teachers. They may get on to you some, and you may deserve that at times, but that's not, and I want you to remember, they're not your enemy. Your enemy is not friends. Ultimately, our enemy is Satan. In his scheme, Satan is described in John 8:44 as the father of lies. Satan wants to lie to you and deceive you. He appeals to our selfishness. Satan says, you deserve this. This is what you should have. This is what everybody else is doing. He appeals to our lust, to our base carnal desires. He appeals to our temptation to want to fit in and to be the cool kid. Satan will create havoc and bring pain into our life. He lies to us about who we are and who we should be. You see, Satan will use stress. He will use chaos. He will use all kinds of things to undermine our faith. You see, this is our enemy. This morning, on our Send Them Back with Faith, sometimes we ask our children to come back up here and we have the for our prayer time. But this morning, we didn't do that. But I want to ask all of our young people who have started school, kindergarten through those who are going to be in college or some kind of technical school this coming year, to stand up. I want you all to stand up. Kindergarten through anybody who's going into college, stand up. Now, Eli and Wade, you guys are going into school. Yeah, I'll call you out if I know you're going to. All right. Now, we, and I want everybody to hear me out, stay standing for a minute, guys. God forbid, and we certainly don't want to ever have a school shooter. We've heard so much about school shooters, and those are very fearful. But here's what I want. I want to use that as an analogy. Think about parents and young people, think about how fearful we would be if there was a school shooter. Even if we heard about the possibility of one with our young people being there. Knowing that someone was aiming for them and could take out their life. Now I want you to know that these young people who are standing up, they are in the targets of Satan. And Satan is not a physical presence like a school shooter, but Satan is the force that we are ultimately fighting against. And he has our young people in his sights. And he wants to pluck them off one at a time. And just go through and knock one down, and another down. But he's not aiming for their life per se. He's aiming for their faith. And that frightens us to think about something happening to the welfare of our children, but think about, even more important, to their souls and what Satan is wanting to do. Young people, I want you to know, Satan has you in his sights. He's aiming for you. You may sit down. See, our enemy is Satan. Now, and in a way, he's aiming for all of us. You know that. But very specifically, there's some ways that he knows that some of us are grounded. We're more mature in the faith. But these young people, they're not. They're young. They're growing. They're going to have all kinds of temptations and challenges. Satan wants them. That's why we need to work on sending our young people back in faith. Because Satan has schemes. And we are involved in a spiritual war. Now, therefore, we must put on the whole armor of God. So how do we stand firm? How do we maintain this faith? If Satan's not going to pick us off, if Satan's not going to take away our faith, how do we stand firm? Well, Paul says we've got to put on the whole armor of God. He says that we must put these characteristics into our life. These are things that we must put into our hearts, into our lives. That these are not optional. What he's saying is that if you fail to put these on, then you don't have the armor and you're going to fall. You see, you're going to fall. You're going to fail in keeping the faith if you don't have this armor. It's like going out into battle. It's like a soldier, a Roman soldier that was going out and he was going to fight the enemy and he didn't have his armor. He didn't have the shield. He didn't have the sword. He didn't have the breastplate and the belt. Well, that'd be foolish. His other soldiers would say, "You're going to die. I'm going to stand back and let you die because you are not armored." You see, Paul says that if we're going to survive because we have Satan who's throwing these schemes at us, we have Satan who has us in his target sights, if we're going to survive, we've got to put up a shield. We've got to put on a belt. We've got to put on a breastplate. We've got to have a sword. We've got to have a helmet. We've got to be ready. We've got to be armored. So what are these armors that we need to put on? Well, Paul calls this the whole armor of God. And we want to notice these six things this morning. Notice, first of all, Paul says you need to put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Now, the belt was the wide belt. You might think about it as what sometimes people who are going to be lifting a lot, like that work at Lowe's or other places, they'll put a belt on, and sometimes they have a strap that goes over here to support them so that they can lift heavier objects. Well, that's similar to what the Roman soldier had. He would put this belt around him that would support him here, but it would also serve as a way of being an equipment rack, you might think of. And he could hold his sword, he could hold other things in this belt, and it would also gird up his loins, the longer elements. He could use that to tie up his longer items of clothing so that he could have his arms free to fight. We need to put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Jesus brought us, John 1:17, truth. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, truth is that support. When you're struggling, you don't really know always what you should depend upon. The world is saying everything is gray out there, and there's really no absolute thing. The belt of truth is that foundation support that will undergird and support you as you go through this life. There are some things you can know. You can know you were created in the image of God. You are special. You can know where you came from and you can know where you're going. That heaven is a created place and you're going to have an accountability before God on the day of judgment. See, there's some truth. You can know that God's Word is found in the Bible. And that the Bible gives us the moral code. You see, that's truth. That's the support for your life. We need to understand that if we're going to stand this school year, if teachers, if parents, and if children are going to stand this school year, it's going to be because we have the belt of truth. Because we have some truth to stand upon. And that when the waves and the winds of change come, and all kinds of things are heard out there, all these different voices are heard, we know where to go to find what's really true and what's really right. Notice the second thing Paul says we need to put on is that we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate is that armor that went over the vital organs. It went over the chest. So it protected the heart and the lungs. And it was some type of metal or some type of hard material, leather material, that would protect the arrows and things like that from penetrating your chest so that it would be the mortal wound that would kill you. And so what Paul says is that if we're going to stay protected so that Satan does not deliver us the mortal wound, if he doesn't take us out, we've got to have a breastplate of righteousness. Now, what's righteousness? That's a long religious term. Let me tell you what righteousness is. Righteousness is right living. you're going to be protected this year, you're going to have to make good decisions with your choices. What he's talking about when he says the breastplate of righteousness is the words you use. That you're going to shun profane and foul language. That you're going to determine to be sexually pure in what you look at and what you allow your body to do. You're going to determine to make sure that you dress modestly and as a Christian should dress. That you're not going to allow your body, your heart to be pulled down with drugs and alcohol and your wisdom impaired with such. You see, when we're talking about righteous living, we're talking about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. We're talking about making sure that we're choosing to live in a way that follows Jesus, in a way that is righteous. If you want Satan to not be able to get to you, you've got to choose to live in a way that's holy and godly. You see, Paul says, you got to know what's true, and you got to live like you're a Christian. But number three, Paul says, you've got to have feet that are protected. Feet that are protected. Now, the Roman soldier had sandals that had spikes on it, kind of similar to what our football players will use when they go out on the field. They'll have cleats, or golfers will use when they have cleats on their shoes. Well, that's what the Roman soldier had. And the idea is that that dug into the soil, so when they were fighting, they were stable. They couldn't be knocked off balance. They wouldn't be sliding on the slick soil. They could be on well-grounded soil. We need to have feet that allow us to be stable. And what he's talking about here is feet that are protected in a preparation or readiness of the gospel is that you know, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, that you're ready to give a defense for the reason of the hope that is within you. That you know the gospel and you trust in the gospel and you're trying to share the gospel. You know, the best way to make sure we're faithful is to always be thinking about how we can be a light to others. How we can share the gospel with others. You know, who can you invite to a youth group activity? Who can you encourage to come to church with you? Who can you be the Bible that your friend or your classmate will read? The only Bible they'll read because they're watching your life and they're seeing the way you live and they're seeing the pages of Scripture come alive. You see, the readiness of the gospel is being prepared that you're living for Jesus and you're trying to share Jesus with others. And that creates a stable foundation for you. You know what you believe and you're trying to share that and you care about sharing the gospel with others. We have a belt of truth. We have a breastplate of righteous living. We have feet that are trying to share the gospel. And we have the shield of faith. You see, Paul says that Satan is going to attack us with fiery darts. And then we have to hold up a shield. Now, the Roman soldiers had two kinds of shields. They had a smaller shield they could use. Then they had the longer shield that was basically the width or length of the body. And it would cover them, and it would be very long and cover the whole body, and they could use it when the arrows were coming. That's the shield that Paul uses here. He says that we need to have a shield that covers our whole body. And the shield that covers us is faith. John said in 1 John 5, verse 4, that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. You are going to be challenged maybe by tragedy, maybe by success. But Satan will challenge you this year. He will challenge the very core of what you believe. Is there a God? Does God really love me? If God loved me, why would He do this? Or on the other hand, I did all these things myself. Why do I really need God? Look at all I've accomplished. This going to church thing is really for people that are weak. I'm more mature than that. Satan's going to tell you one of those two lies this year. And what you need to be reminded of is that if you don't hold up the shield of faith, if you don't walk by faith and not by sight, Satan's darts will penetrate your shield. You see, we can't have all the answers. We don't know why everything happens. And we often don't even know why we're so blessed. But we do know in whom we have believed and have been persuaded that these things are so. You see, we can trust and we can have faith. We have to hold up the shield of faith. And then he says, you've got to put on the helmet of salvation. It's interesting that he compares salvation to a helmet. He chose that part because salvation is not just a heart issue. Salvation is also a mental issue. And you've got to protect your mind. Satan wants to attack your mind. The war goes on ultimately in your mind. Young people, if you're going to keep the faith, you have to protect what goes in to your mind. That's why you need to be careful of the books you read, the movies you watch, the TV shows, and the people you hang out with, because they're all influencing your mind. And if you're going to stay saved, if you're going to stay on the helmet of salvation and keep the hope of salvation, you've got to protect your mind. And make sure that whenever you're trying to filter your decisions through your mind, you're trying to, is this going to lead towards salvation? Or is this going to take away my leading towards salvation? Take me down another path. You see, the helmet of salvation protects our mind. It's the hope we have that we're saved. And then finally, Paul says, the only offensive weapon we have, because we do not war with flesh and blood, but our offensive weapon is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. You see that Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. You need to put some of God's Word into your mind every day. It might be just one verse. You got a phone, you got ways of listening to the Bible, you got ways of reading the Bible. You need to read some of God's Word. It's going to keep you strong. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to keep the shield up, you've got to hear the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. You see, the sword of the Spirit will be able to cut through all the lies and deceptions of Satan, all the things that you hear that are false about yourself and about what you should be doing or should not be doing. The sword of the Spirit will cut through all that and tell you the truth. You see, we've got to take the whole armor of God. That's why it's important for you to be involved in our activities here, to be at church, to hear the sermons and sing the songs, to be in Bible class, to be at youth devotionals, because you need the whole armor of God, or Satan is going to take advantage of you. Notice Paul will end this chapter, this section, by saying, praying at all times. Praying at all times. Verse number 18, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert. Keep alert. We need to be vigilant, Paul says. We've got to be awake because Satan is prowling around trying to destroy our faith. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance and make prayer, make supplication for all the saints. I want you to know, we often might hear it said that prayer has been taken out of the schools. I want you to know prayer is not taken out of the school as long as Christians are praying in the schools. And that those young people who stood up that are going to school, if you're going to stand against Satan this year, you're going to need prayer. And our teachers, may I get an amen on this one. You need prayer, right? If you're going to stand, you need prayer. Parents, I know I get an amen on this one because I'm a parent. We need prayer. Amen. We need prayer. Praying at all times. If we're going to stand, if grandparents, if all of us are going to stand against Satan, we need prayer. We need to be vigilant, alert, because he's trying to destroy our faith. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Father, we thank you for each of our young people here at Seven Oaks. We love them and we appreciate them. Father, we're thankful for each of the families, for the parents, grandparents. We're thankful for all the teachers and administrators who are part of our church family. Father, we pray. We know that the school calendar and going back to school is a big deal for us because it influences all of our homes. It creates a new routine for us. And it will occupy so much of our time and energy over the next 10 months. Father, we pray that whether we're in extracurricular activities or whether we're in the classroom or whether we're with friends, that you'll help us to take the whole armor of God. Help all of us to take each of these emblems, take the belt of truth and stand strong upon your truth, to take the breastplate of righteousness, to live holy and right lives so that others can see Christ in us, to be ready to share the gospel with others, having feet that are ready to share the gospel. Father, that we'll take the helmet of salvation, always using our minds to stay close to you and guarding and protecting our minds from evil influences that would lead us away from salvation. And Father, I pray that we'll take the sword of the Spirit and that we'll know our Bibles, that we'll love our Bibles, and that we'll be prepared to look to our Bibles when the world challenges us, and that we can use that sword as your Son used that sword to defeat Satan in his work. Father, help all of us to be protected from his fiery darts. Help us to realize what an enemy he is, and help us to be strong in the Lord and to stand strong with him. Father, I pray that Seven Oaks, that our young people, can make a great impact for you this year, and that we can stand strong in Jesus. Father, we ask all these things through Christ we pray. Amen. It is said that General Stonewall Jackson received his name when General B. was trying to encourage his men at the Battle of Manassas to stand strong. They were wanting to retreat. And he said to his men, "Look over there at General Jackson. He is standing strong as a stone wall." This year, I want the young people at Seven Oaks to be the ones who other people and other Christians in this congregation can look at you and say, "Look at him, look at her. They are standing strong in the Lord as a stone wall. Though the enemy presses against them, they are standing strong. They're like a stone wall that will not be moved in their faith." Where's your faith this morning? If you're not a Christian, put Christ on in baptism. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need to get right with the Lord, then come as together we stand and sing.